Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's happening. It's happening on this show. Hall of Famer Kurt Warner on After Hours. Ha! A couple weeks ago. Actually, it wasn't even a couple weeks ago, was it? It was just a week ago when Kevin Harlan and Kurt Warner were talking about me on Monday Night Football, and we were determined to get the Hall of Famer on the show. We felt like it was time to strike while the iron was hot, to use some weird cliche that my grandmother would use that I don't actually know what it means, something to do with being a blacksmith. Anyway, we've got him. We've got Kurt Warner, the two-time MVP, the Super Bowl champ MVP, the Hall of Famer, and of course the Westwood One color analyst alongside Kevin Harlan on Monday Night Football. Cannot wait for you to hear this conversation with Kurt Warner. We actually talked to him right after his duties with MNF, with Monday Night Football. So as soon as he was done with Westwood One, he hopped on a satellite line with us here at CBS Sports Radio. And we had a chance to catch up with him, and he's fun. He's authentic. He's real. He's analytical and critical without being mean, without putting down players, quarterbacks. Obviously understands everything the quarterbacks in today's NFL are going through, but doesn't make it personal. It's business. It's professional, which is one of the things that makes him a great analyst. He can tell you what's wrong. He can tell you what's right, but it's not as though he's taking shots at the particular QBs. So that conversation coming up next hour here on CBS Sports Radio. I am so excited. I'm still excited. It was great to talk to him. And he did say at the end of our conversation, I'll just give you a spoiler alert, anytime. Producer Dave, he said, anytime.
Yes, he did.
But we're not going to take advantage of that fact. I did say to Dave afterwards, maybe once a year, maybe once a football season. Is that too much to ask?
Oh, so I shouldn't have already called him?
Hi, would you mind hopping on the show with us twice in 1 week? You did say anytime.
Tomorrow?
And in case you're wondering, After Hours listeners, yes, we did talk to him about pork rinds. There was a pork rinds moment, and it was fantastic. He's a really good sport. So I'm excited for you to hear it. Again, coming up next hour, tell your friends, make sure you are ready to go and you don't have something else going on next hour so you miss it. We will, of course, have it on our podcast, and we are endeavoring to put it on our YouTube channel. We haven't had anything on our YouTube channel since early March, if I'm not mistaken. There's just been so much going on, and we're limited in terms of our personnel here at CBS Sports Radio. And so I'm really excited about this particular conversation. And it's not just because he's a Hall of Famer with this phenomenal rags to riches story, but also because I've always been a big fan. And so my mom was just laughing at me earlier on Monday because I was nervous about talking to him. Producer Dave said to me, he's just a dude. Well, true, but anyway, when we got done talking to him, I asked Producer Dave, did I sound nervous? What did you think? And he was like, it was fine. It was good. I didn't stutter, did I, during the conversation with Kurt Warner?
No, I was there for the entire conversation. Very professional, not shaky at all. and yes, I said he's just a dude, but to clarify, I meant that with all the due respect that he deserves.
Yeah, of course.
Hall of Famer and all the other accolades alike. He was very, very, very good.
Yeah, he makes a great analyst and certainly has made a good transition. So, Kurt Warner here on the show coming up next hour, and I may say it a couple more times, but I just want you to know so you don't miss it. We are live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. All right, find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Since it's still October, I did post a photo earlier on Monday, and I hope that you'll check it out. It's pinned to the top of our Facebook page. It is pink, but it's a special pink accessory that I'm not going to tell you any more about, but it's one of my favorites. You have to go and check it out on Twitter or on our Facebook page. You know who else posted a photo on Monday? And his was far more impactful and meaningful and I think emotional than mine. Ron Rivera. He actually jumped on one of the, I guess it's been fun, one of the trendy social media, I don't even know what you call it. I guess it is a trend. He jumped on one of the more popular social media trends with a how it started, how it's going photo array. And for how it started, there's a photo of Coach in a doctor's office, either listening to the doctors or going through his initial treatments for his cancer. His how it's going photo is him ringing the bell to signal the end of his chemotherapy. So congratulations to Coach Rivera. This is a huge step. Doesn't mean he's completely out of the woods. There may be other treatments. There may be other scans. Certainly there'll be other doctor's appointments. But this was a huge step. And so if you haven't seen it, here I'll retweet it so that you can. It's awesome. It made me very excited on Monday. Probably the best part of my Monday, with my apologies to Kurt Warner. So that was the best thing I saw social media on Monday. The fact that we're through week 7 is kind of blowing my mind a little bit. And we're going to get to Monday Night Football here coming up. It seemed like it passed in the blink of an eye. And I know it's been a lot of hard work for them and for us here at CBS Sports Radio. It's been difficult, a football season to go through with just the two of us, Dave and I, doing everything that we possibly can to bring you the best audio and make sure we have all the storylines covered. It may not seem like it when we're here on the radio, but it's been pretty chaotic and pretty hectic over the last 7 weeks. And then you throw in the fact that these last 2 months have been unlike any other in my entire career, or really in the history of sports, with every sport known to man operating all at the same time. Hoops and hockey and baseball all returning late July, early August. Football with no preseason, but still plenty of news. NASCAR and golf and tennis. And then for those of you who love soccer or EuroLeague football, for those of you who love UFC, WWE, it's been something for everyone, the WNBA. I mean, we've had everything taking place all at the same time. And there were stretches over the past 2 months where I thought, holy cow, this is never going to end. Now, I'm not saying to you that I wanted it to end. I'm not at all, because I remember every time I feel overwhelmed, I remind myself of what it was like in late March, early April, even into May, when we started to see some sports come back, like golf, like NASCAR, and then, of course, that match, the fun golf match at the end of May, the charity match with Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, Phil and Tiger. We had The Last Dance in late April and May, but for heaven's sakes, that was the biggest sports story going outside of the NFL draft in mid-spring. So I remember those days doing the show from home, making sure we had enough topics that we could talk about. And there was news, but a lot of it was, hey, here's what it's going to look like when sports come back. Oh, wait, here's the new plan for when sports come back. Oh, these leagues are arguing about when sports will come back. And so I won't forget what that was like. So please don't mistake me talking about how crazy the last 2 months have been as a complaint, because it's not a complaint, but it has been overwhelming. I've never gone through anything like this in my career where so much is happening. And I feel like, as you ever feel like a little kid where you picked up all your toys, you're supposed to put them away or whatever else. You're trying to grab all this stuff and pick all of the stuff up, and one toy falls out and then another toy falls out. I feel like I've been trying to wrap my arms around as much stuff in sports as I possibly can. And every 5 seconds I drop something. Well, I drop something else, get something mixed up, make a mistake. I mean, it's just a lot to keep a handle on. All that to say, here we are. It's late October. We're closing in on Halloween, if that's something that floats your boat. But we're closing in on the end of the World Series, and we're now nearly halfway through the NFL season, if you can believe it. I can't believe it. Through week 7. And as we head through this show, and then the shows beyond it, going toward next weekend, which still feels like a long way off, we'll look at some of the storylines, the top three, the bottom three, what's become more and more prevalent, which is this idea of tanking for Trevor, at least among fans. I don't believe that teams tank, but how many teams out there would take Trevor Lawrence right now? So we're going to do that topic a little bit later. It's just crazy that we've now finished up 7 full weeks. I'm so proud of the NFL. And by that, I mean the players, the coaches. I know there have been blips on the radar. So proud of Major League Baseball that their World Series has moved forward unimpeded. In fact, their postseason has moved forward with almost no blips, with almost no problems. Except the ratings are way down. Now, it's not any different than what we've seen from almost every live sporting event over the course of the last several months. And I've got some perspective that I'll share with you a little bit later on. But I did go through and write down the ratings for last Tuesday, Wednesday, which were games 1 and 2. And then Saturday, Sunday, which were 2 really good games. A lot of people talking about the World Series and how dramatic and how much fun it was. The ending on Saturday night into Sunday with Clayton Kershaw on the mound. And the challenges with the Rays, even after the Dodgers jumped out to an early lead. But they're historically low. And yet, it's not as bad as you think. So there's a lot, again, that I want to get to when it comes to this edition of the show. But I just wanted to take that second there to kind of share with you. It's the end of October, and I can't believe it. I can't believe we're through week number 7. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I had said to you about the Los Angeles Rams, I felt like this game against the Bears was a great measuring stick for them. Now consider they're in the toughest division in football, okay? Consider that every single team in the NFC West is above 500. And then think about how the Rams got their previous 4 wins against the Cowboys, the Eagles, the Washington football team, and the Giants. I kid you not. The NFC West plays the NFC East this year. And it just so happens that the Rams had all 4 East teams on their schedule in the first 6 weeks of the season. Now, is that nice that you can get those wins? In fact, 4 of your first 5 games against the NFC East? Sure. It's a confidence boost, helps you find a rhythm. But are those a true measure of how good you are? Maybe not. Probably not. Are those a true measure of how tough your schedule will be. No. It's the opposite of the NFC West. The East and West couldn't be more opposite. And I don't just mean geographically. In fact, Dallas is not even in the East, for heaven's sakes. And so I was interested to see what would happen on Monday Night Football when they took on a defense that plays as well as the Rams do and an offense in Chicago that's spotty but has managed to find ways to win. Well, it wasn't easy. I mean, at times, offense was really difficult to come by. And so in the first half of this game, in fact, until you get to about the final few minutes of the second quarter, it didn't feel like there was much momentum for either team. Yes, there was a touchdown on the board for the Rams, but really, neither team could get much going offensively. We knew it was going to be a defensive dominant game, of course, because of what these two teams bring to the table. And in fact, the only touchdown for the Chicago Bears was from their defense. I'm not sure who would win the debate of worst offense this weekend. The Bears or the Patriots or the Jets? Okay, probably the Jets. But even if we take them out of the conversation, you could probably put the Bills in that conversation too. Who had the worst offensive performance of the weekend? Maybe the Houston Texans deserve to be in that conversation too. This was brutal to watch for the Chicago Bears. And yet their defense keeps them in games. I probably should put the Denver Broncos in there as well. Their defense keeps them in games. But the Rams have a defense too. And late in this contest, when they needed to come up with stops, they did every time.
Full second down, 5. Got it in the shotgun. Throws a pass, far sideline. Leaping interception across the way. Jalen Ramsey got that ball with the interception on the far side of the field. First of the season, a big-time pick at the 39-yard line of Chicago on the far sideline.
Here's the snap to Foles again. He needs 19 yards. Nice pocket. Launches down the left sideline. Got a man, but he could not hit him down that sideline. Javon Wims got behind the coverage, but Foles was off the mark. They turn it over on downs again. It'll be victory formation for the Los Angeles Rams with no timeouts remaining.
And so the Rams lead with their defense, and their defense carries them through. The call there with Kevin Harlan on the Westwood One Radio Network, 2 interceptions of Brett Foles, including one in the end zone that was a backbreaker. And then late when they were trying to extend their final drive and their last hope on the Rams Radio Network, incomplete on 4th down. And Sean McVay, he knows where his bread is buttered these days.
It's hard to say one thing. I think I was pleased with everything that they did. I thought they flew around. I thought we were great. Really, in every area of the game, they held them to 3 points. That was all that they got. We had some huge stops when they were down in the tight red area.
Defense, baby. Defense. Only 279 yards allowed to the Chicago Bears. And that's where Matt Nagy started his post-game comments.
I want to give credit to the Rams and to Sean McVay and his coaching staff and their team. You know, you got to give credit to them. They're well coached. They play hard. They're a good football team. And so I don't want to take anything away from that as well. I wish we were coaching and playing a little bit better than we did tonight.
The offense was a little bit late to the party, but the Rams eventually had a couple of touchdowns. They were 3 of 4 in the red zone. Jared Goff with 219 yards. Once again, a major issue for the Bears offense, other than quarterback play, which is spotty at best. Only 49 rushing yards. This drives me batty. And I know they're committed to it. They're just not very good at it. And so it's hard to know whether these quarterbacks could be any better if they weren't constantly under duress, if there was any type of a run game to keep the defenses, opposing defenses, honest. As the Bears rushed for 49 yards, that's it, on Monday Night Football, it was their 4th consecutive game with fewer than 65 rushing yards. The only time it's ever happened in Bears history in the Super Bowl era. Their rushing game is historically bad, abysmal, meager. miserable, embarrassing, not helpful, and not a viable option. Do you think that covers it? Did I cover all the angles there? So as much as it's easy to blame the quarterbacks, which we do, have a little balance with your offense, except it's not there. Short of bringing in Christian McCaffrey, who is back at practice, by the way, I'm not sure what they can do. But that's one of the questions I ask Kurt Warner. How do you spark this Bears offense?
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Four-man rush. Looks into the nickel. Shotgun snap. Here they come, and there he goes. Town hit on the play by Leonard Floyd, the former Chicago Bear. A former number one pick in 2016. He just climbs on, falls back, and drags him down. Back at the Chicago 47. A loss of 10. Another punting situation for the Bears. Third and 10, shotgun snap. Foles is there. Pocket crumbles. He's taken down. Sacked by three different Rams. Back inside the Chicago 35. Hit by a ton. Losing eight. May have been Justin Hollins again. We've talked about him tonight. He's had a big game. Now it's fourth and 18 for the Bears.
It's a football feeding frenzy. After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's never a good thing when you have 4th and 18, and it seemed like it was the case all night for the Bears. They would go one step forward and two steps back. They'd pick up a bunch of yardage, maybe a chunk play, a first down, and then there would be a huge sack. Four of them, as a matter of fact, of Nick Foles, as well as a couple of interceptions, one in the end zone that was particularly brutal. The later interception, it's not that the game was out of reach, but he was attempting to go downfield, and it was one of those balls that, you know, you kind of throw it up there and hope that one of your receivers can make a play. No touchdowns for the Bears on the offensive side, only a touchdown for the defense. It was bad. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It did not take away from Kevin Harlan's enthusiasm on Westwood One. So you heard Matt Nagy give credit to the Rams as they hold the Bears offense at bay and come up with these big plays over and over again. Well, Nick Foles under fire because he took over from Mitch Trubisky. The Bears named him the starting quarterback. And while they were 5-1 going into this game, the offense hasn't gotten a whole lot better.
It's not easy. You come to your locker, you hurt for your teammates, you hurt that you weren't able to make enough plays, that we lost. But ultimately it does, you know, allow you to grow because it ultimately sucks. But you have to learn how to get through it. So that's the stage we're at as a team. We've been fortunate to come out back in some games, and you know, this was not one of them.
We have to pull together as best as we can and fight through this adversity as hard as it is, because the word frustration is easily exaggerated in these times, you know, and it should be. So having that happen, we have to understand, okay, what are we doing that's not working? And let's not do that. What are we doing that is working? And let's get back to more of that.
It's interesting that they talk about adversity and how the losing sucks when this was just their second loss of the year. The Bears are still 5-2, second place in the NFC North, and they have the same record as the Rams, the same record as the Cardinals. They're a win better than the New Orleans Saints, and they've been flying so high because, as Foles mentioned, they've come back in a couple of games. Their defense is really good, but you can only ask the defense to do so much. In the first half, I was listening to the game with Kevin and with Kurt Warner, and I kept thinking about it over and over again. Yeah, your defense is great. This we know. It's been this way for years. But any little help from the offense would no doubt be welcome, because then the defense doesn't actually have to win every single game all by itself. Now, credit the Rams defense, because they didn't give an inch in this game. And so the Rams deserve a ton of credit, as Nagy gave them. But if I'm dissecting the Bears offense, they've been able to come up with a big quarter here or there. Typically the fourth quarter has been the one where they flex their muscles and show up a little bit. They've got to establish the run. And I've been saying that for weeks now. They've got to be able to run the ball. In fact, I've been saying that for a couple of years now, because it makes their offense so one-dimensional. when everybody in the building knows their best opportunity is to throw the ball. But something else that I thought of as I was watching this game, if the Rams are stuffing the box, which they were because they didn't want to give up anything, and they feel like they've got a secondary that can cover its receivers, they can blanket receivers. Jalen Ramsey had an interception. They're ball hawks. They know how to get in the passing lanes. They can hold that cover. They can hold and keep up with their marks, even if their pass rush doesn't get to the quarterback. So they're just good at every position. But something that a lot of teams will use when they can't establish the run initially is the dink and dunks, the short passes that almost operate as though they are part of a run game. Because you get rid of the ball quickly. You don't have to wait for a play to develop downfield. And it doesn't work if the defense stuffs the box, because you can run these guys out of the flat. You can do some misdirection. There's the option of play action, which they did use a little bit on this in this particular game. And so they've got to be a little more creative in trying to figure out how to move the ball. And I'm not telling you I know how to do it, only that what they're doing isn't working, and they've got to come up with some different designs. Matt Nagy, his offense, I mean, he's an offensive guy. So a lot of the responsibility falls on him. But ultimately, through week 7, you are what your record says you are. They're still 5-2. The Rams are 5-2. What a logjam in the NFC West. And we'll talk about that with Kurt Warner as well. He's next hour here on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, if you want to vote for Monday MVP. Also on our Facebook page, where we had quite the debate going on. Straight ahead, we'll give you the latest from Dallas and Cleveland. And also in New England, standing pat when it comes to the QB spot. Bob Uecker joining us now on the show. Bob, where have you been? I have missed you. It feels like I haven't talked to you in years.
Amy, please don't hold it against me. I defected to the daylight hours for a week.
Did you? Was it fun?
I did. Well, yeah, I enjoy it, but I don't enjoy it as much as I do the nighttime.
Me either. Yeah. Me either. I'm a night owl. Now, I wouldn't mind if it was a little earlier at night, but
yes.
But the hours that you keep, those seem to me like pretty standard for my body clock. They would fit pretty well. Well, did you have a good time covering some day shifts?
I did. Again, there was plenty going on.
Yes.
But the reason I enjoy the nighttime hours and this shift is because you actually have games, you have scores, you have fresh sound bites.
Yes.
And you get a little bit more of a rush out of that.
I tell you what, that's the line I give people all the time. They ask me, well, they assume that I haven't had the opportunity to move off this shift, which of course I have. There's been many opportunities to change day parts, but I don't enjoy previewing games, and I don't do predictions because that's just guessing. So for me to work in the daytime is not nearly as cool as working at night when, as you say, the games are fresh, the results are fresh, the analysis is fresh, as opposed to working, say, 12 hours later or 15 hours later when, there's already been a lot of rehashing of what happened.
Yeah, like, for instance, I was home on Saturday night watching that World Series game, that
yep.
sensational game. And if I had been working this shift on Saturday night, I would have been so pumped up because that kind of a game just gets you
yes.
so involved.
Agreed.
And, you know, it just kind of flows a lot easier when you're involved, when you're in the middle of something like that. But let's put it this way. I did enjoy watching it as a fan, so that was
a
great game.
That was pretty crazy. And actually, that's where we're going to go next. Some World Series TV ratings, which I think are a little bit misleading. You have to put them in perspective, which we will. And also, as I talked about, we'll get the latest from Cleveland. But you may steal my thunder. But that's okay. That's what you're good at. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
It's
Second and four from their own 10-yard line. Mayfield under center, waiting. Long count, takes it. Drops to throw. Looks. He's loading up. He's going long down the sideline, and that's intercepted. Darius Phillips at the 40, at the 35, at the 30, at the 25, and he got brought down by Andy Janovich. And the interception problem is back. And Beckham is down and injured on the play and trying to get himself collected in front of the Bengal bench. So, and also down, J.C. Treader, the Browns center, is down. His right leg, his right knee. Boy, you want to talk about a disastrous play. How about that? An interception, and Beckham's hurt, and the center, Treader, is hurt.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jim Donovan and the Cleveland Browns Radio Network, and even now in my radio studio, I'm seeing the... I hesitate to call it a highlight, but the moment being replayed on NFL Network, Odell Beckham Jr. in the first quarter. And so it was an interception and a change of possession, and he attempts to make a tackle and gets tangled up with a couple of other guys who are also trying to make a tackle. And unfortunately, the worst has come true for not just OBJ, but for the Browns, as they're already without Nick Chubb, who should return at some point, but now will be without Odell for the rest of the season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I always hope against hope when it comes to an ACL, because it's one that, while athletes generally are returning more quickly than they used to, a lot of times it can take you out for 9 months, if not longer. And then you have the, you know, the process of getting back to the point where physically you trust that knee. And for Odell, he's already had so many injuries, felt like he was finally healthy, felt like he was in a groove. And even though there have been times this season when people questioned his connection with Baker Mayfield for obvious reasons, I felt like it was a lot of impatience. I mean, let's be honest, as sports fans, we are extremely impatient and we want everything to be perfect immediately. But with another new head coach and another system and Kevin Stefanski trying to clean up the mess that was made before he got there, there was going to be an incubation period. And there have been games in which the offense has been dynamic. You heard Jim Donovan say the interception problem is back. There have been games that have been brutal, like the ones against the Ravens and against the Steelers. Now, they deserve credit for the way they played the Browns defensively, but we knew it was going to be a roller coaster ride. OBJ was part of that. But the Browns are not better without his talent on the field. I will be the first to admit, sometimes he acts like a clown. And I've said that plenty of times. I feel like OBJ is OBJ's worst enemy. And typically it's on social media. It's hard sometimes for people to take him seriously when he acts like a clown. But he's also an incredibly talented receiver, even if he is a bit of a diva, even if at times he thinks the world revolves around OBJ. He's desperate to win. He works hard. And no, a team is not better losing a talent like that, a talent like his. Now, Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns found holes and seams and opportunities in that Bengals defense. But they still have an uphill climb in the AFC North, already behind the eight ball with the 30-plus point losses to the two best teams in their division. In order to get over that hump, in order to reach that same echelon, that same level of play in their own division, as well as in the AFC, they need all the talent they can get. And while running the ball is still their best option, and I'll believe that even before Nick Chubb comes back, the offensive line has been playing better at times. All of it's a work in progress. But to have an option like an Odell Beckham Jr., and we saw his best game with the Browns just a few weeks ago, he's fast. He can change direction quickly. He's versatile. boy, does he love to stick it to teams and to individuals. He's fun. He's fun to watch. Again, it's not been perfect the whole time, but I felt like the Browns offense was trending up, as bad as the Ravens and Steelers games were. Some of you have said to me, you felt like Baker Mayfield played his best game since his rookie year. That's true. There's been so much transition, so much change. I always say to you, constant change in sports equals constant losing. In order to have the stability, they need Kevin Stefanski to stay in place for a while, and they need the reps in his system. And to pull these pieces out is just more change. And so I'm disappointed for Odell Beckham Jr. individually, of course, because I felt like he was finally healthy, didn't have to worry about any particular ailments. He wasn't battling his own physical body as he was playing, but also the fact that this offense is better with the talent of OBJ and with the threat of an Odell Beckham Jr. opposite of Jarvis Landry and with some of the other weapons they've got.
You never replace a player of Odell's caliber with one player. That's just, I mean, we're not doing that with Nick Chubb. You know, it's going to take multiple guys to replace these players. So that's kind of the challenge that we have. And I think our guys will be up to the challenge.
That's the voice of Kevin Stefanski. We did see different receivers step up. It was a really cool story. The sixth round draft pick, Donovan Peoples-Jones out of Michigan, getting an opportunity. His first three career catches on Sunday. And then, of course, his first touchdown was the touchdown with, what was it, 11 seconds to go in the game against Cincinnati. Amazing. What a moment for him. As I said on Sunday night, welcome to the NFL, rookie. And so other guys will step up. I mean, we're seeing it in Green Bay, where with the injuries to Devontae Adams early on and Alan Lazard, also with them having Robert Tonyan banged up, they've had other guys that have had to step up. So it truly is next man up in sports, but definitely in the NFL. And this season, maybe more than ever, considering the challenges and the limitations. But let's just put it to bed right away. You're not better without Odell Beckham Jr. It just opens doors for other guys.
It's our job to find the guys that can go compete, that we can go put them in spots where they can succeed. And I think we'll be able to do that. That's not easy. I don't want to have to do it. And I'm very disappointed for Odell. But that's the nature of this beast. And injuries are part of this game. And doesn't mean any of us have to like it. But we do have to deal with it.
That is true, and that is something that every NFL team is facing at this point in the season. They've all lost multiple players that are critical to their success they thought that they would have this season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Cleveland fans, how you feeling? I know some of your excitement over Sunday's win is probably tempered a little bit now. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's sponsored by Geico. Do you want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It'll keep you up at night. Switch to Geico and save.
Three balls, two strikes, a pitch to Muncy. And there's a fly ball to right. Max Muncy has left the yard in a very big way. And the Dodgers take a 4-2 lead.
Max Muncy, the second you heard the vicious crack of the bat, you knew that ball was out of Globe Life Field. And the Dodgers have continued to hit home runs, but they've also stolen bases. They've played good defense. Their pitching has held up. And now they are one win away from their first World Series since 1988. That will resume on Tuesday night, Wednesday, if a Game 7 is necessary. And because of that, I thought I would check out the ratings to this point. I was actually really interested to see how they compare and maybe what the numbers are over the course of the series, because I feel like games 4 and 5 were tremendous. Whether or not you tuned in at the beginning, which would be last Tuesday and Wednesday, okay. But Saturday night, there was so much buzz about the three lead changes after the sixth inning, which has never happened before, that I was hoping more people tuned in for Sunday. Well, the numbers were better, I guess. I don't know. Right now, they're averaging about 8.5, maybe 8 to 8.5 million viewers per game. And going back to Nielsen ratings in the 60s, which is when they started, these are the smallest audiences we've ever seen for the World Series. If you compare the opener, it was 9.22 million viewers, down from 11.5 in 2019. And 2019, actually, to start the series, the numbers were historically low. But these are the lowest ratings numbers, lowest viewership for the World Series going back to the 60s when they started tracking it. But here's the perspective. It's pretty much in line with how we've seen the ratings in sports drop across the board. And these ratings are still better than the NBA Finals, weirdly enough, probably partly because of the network, but the ratings themselves, the viewership numbers themselves are better than what we saw in the NBA Finals. Not as much competition now, of course, on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Baseball's kind of got the stage to itself, and that'll be the case tomorrow and if we need Wednesday. But also, live sporting events, as much as we've seen the ratings tank in 2020, they're still the most watched programs generally on their nights that they air. And so as bad as these ratings numbers have been, not even cracking 10 million for any of the World Series games so far, the viewership has been below 10 million people for each, they're still among the most watched broadcasts of the year, weirdly enough. I mean, football still drives the bus, but if you're talking about outside of football, live sports, other than football, do actually attract the bigger audiences than pretty much anything else on TV. It's just that ratings are way down comparatively when you look at 2019 for obvious reasons. But I hope that people will tune in for game number 6. It could be a Dodgers coronation.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.